Today, I'm talking to the friend who stops watching their favorite team play because they say if they watch the game, their team will lose. Yes, there are people out there who think that they are the one and only key to a team's success without playing 1 second. How self-centered do you have to be to think that you, guy on the couch, eating Ruffles, has anything to do with the success of a group of the best athletes selected by experts and paid millions of dollars to perform at a high level who have put in countless hours of hard work, exercise, and dedication to the sport they love? Somehow you're involved? For some unexplained mystical reason, you not wearing the right t-shirt makes those professionals win or lose? Check this out. If you, guy on the couch, eating Ruffles, had that much sway in a team's ability to win or lose, you'd be on the payroll. Here's a tip. Get over yourself and enjoy the Ruffles.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody Podcast.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Well, well, well.
Well, man, that's harsh. That is some harsh. Those are harsh words for people that live and die by their sports team. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, thank you, man.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think there is this, this hole of love where you think that, you know, you're you have that effect on any sports team. It's pretty crazy.
It's preposterous. And absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've never been like, man, when I was standing up the last game, they started playing better.
Sure.
Maybe I should go stand up.
We've all done it. We've all done it. We've all been there. Like, we love it. You know, I used to be really avid into college football when I was, you know, living in Boise, and I went to school at Boise State, and, you know, they were playing national championship game, or not national, but they were in the Fiesta Bowl, and there was all that crazy chaos. And I remember, like, stand up, I can't do this, I can't sit down. If I sit down, they, you know, nobody's gonna score. Who's gonna
They're
score?
Done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like,
I control it. I absolutely control
it's
it.
It's true. It's true.
What spawned this was, I was listening to like the Bill Burr Monday morning podcast or something. And he was like, I can't watch the watch the Sox anymore. They've lost the last seven times I played. Mm-hmm. Seven times they played because I watched. He's like, so I can't watch. And then I didn't watch. And then they won by 15. I'm like, dude, it's not you. You're not the universe.
Yeah. I can't watch the Sox.
Can't watch the Sox anymore. it's this human sort of just nature of being like so self-centered to think that you have something to do with all of these guys playing well. Fucking way.
It's true. It's like you are so connected, so in sync with this team of people. First of all, you've never met. You never met any of them. You've sat in the top row of the facility once a year.
Right.
You watch the games whenever they come on the television. Maybe you go into a sports bar and you like scream at the TV with a bunch of other strangers that feel the same way.
Yeah.
No effect. No effect.
No,
none.
No effect. You could fall off the face of the planet.
Yep.
Tommy Brady's going to play how he's going to play.
Yeah. You'd let it like, you know, like it's true. It's true.
It's unless you're his trainer. How can you affect the game? The closest thing you can do to affect the game is be there and yell. That's about it.
And even then, like, are you doing anything that they're not used to? Have they singled out your voice in that crowd of thousands and were like,
right,
oh, he really thinks I'm a boner.
That right.
guy really thinks I'm a boner. I am. I can't throw this touchdown pass right now. My team's going to lose because this guy, this random stranger guy, thinks I'm a boner. Like, there's only few guys that get really wrapped up with their fans. One of them is Russell Westbrook. And the other is Ron Artest. And those are the guys that'll do something about it.
Yeah. Fans get to them. They are affected.
Yes, so, absolutely.
That's really the only way that you can put your hand on the game without, like, coaching the player or, like, working out with them.
Sure.
Or being their friend or delivering them some news that might affect something.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you can put your hand on the game. Putting your hat on inside out, it's not going to work, guys.
Not changing your underwear for weeks because your football team's on a 4-3-0 streak. Come on, get out of here.
Yeah. Running around the table three times and waving around your blanket during the fifth inning, not going to do anything.
Get out of here. It's done. Nobody's interested anyway.
Well, another week, man. How the hell are you?
We had another one locked down. Obviously, things have gotten crazy. The world is, we like to think it's falling apart, but for the most part, it's exactly where it was. It's just now, it's just what it is. But I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into the chaos that is outside of the Dan and Cody sphere.
Don't do it.
So what I want to do is I want to change the subject. First world problems or first world expectations. They're bringing Frasier back. Did you know this?
The tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, they're bringing Frasier back. Did I tell you this?
No.
They're bringing Frasier back. I felt like we needed an up. We needed a relief. And first of all, I absolutely love the television show Frasier because it is a television play. And for those of you that want to watch some older television, Frasier's the way to go. Especially
anytime
they do an episode where, because what it does is it defines the era, right? And one of the things they do, this gag that they run a couple times through the series over its 10-year span, is they do the big shtick with the show is somebody doesn't have all the information and they're making choices around not having all the information and everybody else knows about it, but they don't. So they like look like an idiot. So one of the big things they do is they put their dad, who's like this former cop who was shot on the line of duty and retired, and he walks around with a cane and he lives with Frasier. They play this card that he either plays a gay man or everybody else, like there's a guest that they have who is gay that thinks he is gay. They all know that he thinks he is gay, but they're not telling him that he thinks he is gay. And all he does is make jokes that make him seem more flamboyant than he normally would be. In today's world, this show is not made.
I mean, it sounds terrible.
It is amazing, Dan Hill.
Oh, Jesus. What do you eat this while you're having a nice prune juice at 5 p.m. before bed?
No, it's a nice little evening television cocktail of a show that sets my mind at ease and relieves the stress from the rest of the week. You know, what do you have that does that for you? What does that for you, Dan Hill?
Watch a little Kelsey G.
Yeah, it's true.
Curl up next to somebody with a float.
Yeah, exactly. With a float. Thank you. Thank you.
You're having a nice little Wednesday. Let me guess. You call that a program, don't you? You're going to watch a program?
I call it stories.
You're going to watch a story?
I call it my stories, man, with my wife. I'm like, what stories are we watching this evening?
Let's watch a picture show.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you happen to see the have you been watching Ted Lasso at all?
I've seen like most of season one.
Okay.
Love Lasso.
So season one, he does the great Allen Iverson shtick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
practice.
Practice.
Talking about practice.
We're talking about practice, man. Not the game that you live and die for. I mean, it was so great.
It's great.
But anyway, I just felt like I wanted to bring that up. And you don't have anything? Like, is there something you watch when you go to sleep? Or do you have to have everything turned off?
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, I'm sleeping to some kind of show. Right now, it's CBS's Big Brother. Love it. Love the...
You are attacking me.
Love the drama.
For watching Frasier, and you're watching Big Brother?
Not the Big Brother, just Big Brother.
I mean, it's... Come on,
backstabbing. I love the nominations. I love the competitions. I love putting people up for eviction.
I mean, and it's kind
of
a reminder.
The sparks.
You auditioned for Big Brother.
I did.
Well, how long ago was this?
I auditioned for, I think, Big Brother 11.
Okay.
They're on like 23 or 24 now.
And
what
was the process like?
I sent in a tape, like
a
VHS tape. I sent in a VHS tape and a printed questionnaire, and they didn't respond. And then I saw an open call.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the open call, lined up with everybody, and had my interview with, I guess, one of the producers. And then I got a call back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I went back, but my problem was I treated it like a job interview, you know?
Right, right. Where what they wanted to see was personality.
Yeah, they wanted to see
like
this Dan. They wanted to see Podcast Dan.
Yes, they did.
Podcast Dan didn't exist yet.
They wanted to be like, how do you feel about off-brand cereal? And then you would have just punch the camera. You would have went,
fuck cereal. Fuck off-brand cereal.
Fuck off-brand cereal. I only eat Post, bitches.
But then I was probably like, well, you know, it's some people, you know, they need cereal and don't want to spend a lot of money for it. And, you know, I don't know. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. But like, yeah, when I went about it all wrong. So I was not called back to come back.
So you're going to audition. Are you going to do a Big Brother after the kids are out of the house? Do you think you'll audition for Big Brother when you're in your 50s?
I'd be down. I mean, the thing about that show is like, it's just the summer. If you go far, if you win it, it's the summer.
What does that mean?
It's a summer without dad. That's all.
It's a summer without dad.
I remember
the summer dad left.
Yeah, and then dad brought home half a mil. Daddy brings home half a mil and it's all good.
I have to be straight. That's not a lot of money.
Half a mil? For a summer?
I don't know, man. I think it should be bigger. To win it all?
The thing with that show is that, like, if you go far and, like, fans of the show like you, then, like, you keep coming back in some capacity year after year.
Well, at that point, they pay you, but they're not paying you $500,000.
No.
No. No. Like, you know.
It's Think like, about what that could do to the podcast when you or me get on there.
Oh, huge.
We'd get eyeballs. We get earballs.
It'd be good for the podcast, but...
We should try to get on together.
No.
Dude, that's the problem. Fucking rule that house.
That's the problem, is what it comes down to, like, you and me, and then people try and get in between us to split us apart. Because they know that we're stronger together. And then what happens is like one of us turns our back on the other. And then it's like,
no.
Sorry, man, it's $500,000. I can't do it, man. I got to survive.
We got to go in as a team. That's gotta be like the...
Dude, I would never do this kind of a show ever. Says the guy who was like, you know, I've done reality television, okay?
Well, there's not... You can't watch Frasier in there, so you're really going to have to...
What can you know. Do? What are the rules with the Big Brother?
So, there's no TV.
Okay.
Every week, there's a competition to win what's called head of household. And that head of household's responsibility each week is to nominate two house guests for eviction. And that's it. And then, so like once those two house guests during the week get nominated, there's a competition that the two nominees are in along with the head of household and like three random draw guests. And that competition is for what's called the power of veto. So if you win the power of veto, you can have the person who won it take you off the eviction block, as they call it, or you can take yourself off, or so there's all that kind of posturing during the week of like, will you use the veto on me? Or like, I gotta win the veto. And then if someone wins and uses the veto, you cannot use it too. Then the head of household has to nominate somebody else. So there's so much game in that.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, you're like counting votes. You're like putting people up as pawns so that you can like kick them out. You're tricking people to win the veto, use it so you can put the person that you really want out of the house.
Oh, sure.
On the eviction block.
Get them out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
So there's a lot of whispering. Jenny calls it the whisper show because half of it is like just people in the corner, like laying on the couch, like,
so what do you think about? What do you think about kicking off Kyle? I fucking hate Kyle. You cool with that?
And I'm in there. I'm like laying in bed eating a box of Goobers. My heart's fucking thumping. Like, sure. Oh, I don't know what it like. That shit just gets me going. The backstabbing and the whispering and the God.
The worst of humanity in this show is taking place every week, and you can watch it yourself. And if you have Paramount Plus, you can probably see 24 hours of the live stream of Big Brother. Is that really true?
Yeah, you can watch a live feed on Paramount Plus. I mean, guys, it's not Frasier, okay? It's no Frasier.
But also on Paramount Plus, you're more than welcome to watch Frasier because it's there as well.
Is it on there too?
Of course, that's where I watch it, my friend.
Dude, CBS. I know you're listening to the podcast right now. We just did a great ad for you that was over 3 minutes. The least you could do.
Oh, get out of here!
Is put me and Cody into the house next year.
Sorry, guys, can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it. Something came up. Oh my God.
Something came up,
guys. I can't make it. Best of luck to you, though. Oh my God.
You're
going to
watch me on it.
Yeah.
You're going to watch me on it.
I'll see you.
Dude, I got a story for you, man. So I went running this morning at like 6 a.m., okay?
Okay.
And I have this route that I go every time I run. It's 3 miles up, 3 miles back to the house, to the dot.
Okay, yeah.
I ran 3 miles up. Did my little turnaround, ran back, started running back around mile 3.5. I see something on the ground. This is like the crack of dawn, man, like the sun's rising, you know? And I see something on the ground, and I'm like, my initial thought is like, just kick it away. Whatever, what is that? But then I like stop, and I look down, and it's a little bag of drugs. It's a square little baggie of drugs. I picked it up. One side of it's just the clear little plastic, little Ziploc-y, little tiny guy. But then on the back of it is like all these like money signs. So like then I know like, all right, someone packaged this up.
So you think it's like what kind of drug?
It was rocky and it was a little blue. We've had like a hint of blue. So I'm thinking like meth. This is meth.
It's either crystal meth or you're getting crack.
Or like, yeah, it was like, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, this is either meth or crack. And I think more meth just because I know like on Breaking Bad, like they had the blue meth. Maybe that's a thing that people are doing now just to like look like.
This is one of those things where what you do is you go and you say, you go to Google and you say, I think I found meth.
What does meth look like?
I think I found meth. What does meth look like?
And risk my Google history?
Who cares, man? They don't care. What does methamphetamine look like, drug world? Blue rocks, baby.
Is it blue rocks?
Yeah. What color? Other colors of powder have been observed. They've been yellow or gray. But most meth usually comes in the form of a crystal powder.
Yeah, this was pretty bitter tasting.
As covered, it can be snorted, smoked, or injected. It's chunky crystals that resemble ice and is most commonly smoked. So maybe it was crystal meth. Versus what is crack? Crack versus crystal meth. What does that look like? This crack? Is like, what's so funny about this is that just shows how out of touch we are with the drug scene. Because I'm here Googling crystal meth and crack.
Yeah. The bag was too small to be like coke. It only had like...
Well, you would know if it's cocaine, right?
Yeah. From the movies. Not from personal experience or anything.
Absolutely. Not from personal experience. Yeah, just from the movies.
From what Scarface, I've seen in the pictures.
From what I've seen in the pictures with Scarface and his big giant mountain of cocaine.
Yeah.
Sure, but so, I get you, Dan.
So I'm going to ask you a question. So like you find this bag of meth. What do you do with it? What is Cody doing with it on a run?
God, I don't want a kid to pick it up.
That's exactly what I thought.
I guess it's I'll run and then... how would you even dispose of it? And actually, meth houses, meth labs, they condemn those homes. If your house was at one point a meth lab,
it's over.
I believe that, like, that is considered a condemnable space. Like, at that point, you can't insure that house. So it's you when you're home, when you use it, because it becomes a what's the word that the government uses when it's like when it's a toxic space, it becomes a hazardous space. Like it's almost as if you've nuked that little area.
Wow.
Because the chemicals and everything that seep into the ground and seep into the space, like. Yeah, man. You can't let...
It's just bad news.
Yeah. You don't ever want to buy a house that was at one point a meth lab.
Wow.
Just some food for thought for you guys out there. Just don't buy a meth house ever.
So you take the bag. You take it.
Yeah, I guess I'd take it. I just don't want a kid to get it. I mean, you know, I don't know how I would even dispose of it. I just don't... Like, it's not like I'd save it, but I guess you can crush it up and then let it run down the sink, right?
I picked it up and I put it in my shorts, in the pocket of my shorts.
You've never had a bigger boner, and you think it's because the drug like was rubbing on you the whole time.
Got that hotness. Well, I picked it up, I put it in my pocket, and I kept running.
Okay.
And then I heard a helicopter, and I immediately thought of that scene in Goodfellas where what's his face? What's his name? He's the spokesperson of Jantix.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ray
Liotta.
Ray Liotta. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Chantix.
Chantix makes me, I'd never smoke again.
I quit smoking because I got Chantix. I thought about that scene in Goodfellas where he like thinks his helicopter is chasing him because he's so paranoid. He's all cooked up. But I get home. I show Jenny. I'm like, look what I found. And she was like, oh my God, why would you bring it home? I was like, I'm going to dump it. So I opened up the bag and I just dumped the shit in the toilet. And then I washed out the bag and threw the bag in the trash.
So like, now after thinking about this for a minute, you picking it up and running it home puts you in a really dangerous position.
What if someone's like watching me do it?
No, well, there's that, which who knows. But the other thing is, you're a black man running through Santa Clarita. Cop decides to do a random frisk on you.
At 6 in the morning?
At 6. Hey, what's a random black man running on the street for in Santa Clarita at 6 in the morning? You know what I mean.
Fucking exercise.
I know you are. I'm just saying, like, you never know. You get one of those weird racist Santa Clarita cops, right?
Right.
And then they like, search you and they find meth on you. Changes like, your life.
Like, what do you got on you?
I mean, I don't know. Say, like, if you
and
said
then
to
my
me,
story is like, I found it on the street. I was going to throw it away.
And then if I was the cop, I'd say, oh, yeah. And did your dog eat your homework, too? You're going with us down to the plink. Like, and then if you were to call me and be like, Cody, I'm in prison. And I'm what? What do you mean you're in prison? I'm in prison for meth. I'm like, what? Meth? Yeah, I found some on the street. Okay, Dan. Sure you did.
I would truly hope that context in that situation would do me all right. Like no drug record, full running gear.
Sure.
Like not under no influence.
Right.
Of any sort of thing at 6 in the morning. I hope I'd be able to talk my way out of that.
I hope you would too. I hope you would too. Well, you don't have to worry about it because you weren't arrested. And
everybody's
okay.
You're going downtown, pal.
It's true. Get in the car.
I did think about somebody like a homeless person or like the drug addict like doubling back for it and being like, where the fuck did my meth go? You know?
Like you run into them?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey man, is this yours? Is this yours?
Is this your meth, man? Sorry, I just don't want to leave it on the street.
Just saw it back there, you know? But yeah, that my main thing. I was like, dude, if a kid picks that up and fucks around with it, or if a dog eats it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Or like, or if someone gets it and does drugs with it. Well, does those drugs and gets high with it.
There is one less piece of methamphetamine left in this world. Yeah. I wonder, though, because we recycle our water. Do you think they clear out the methamphetamines in our water?
I'm sure they've got, like, how many drugs are dumped in the toilet a day?
You know? So many drugs are in the toilet. Everybody, don't drink your toilet water that's just filled with drugs.
But, like, you'd be amazed at the amount of people who I told this to, and they were like, why'd you pick it up?
No,
and I took a bite out of crime today.
I think what you did was the right thing.
Thank you.
I think it was risky, and you put yourself in a position that would have been very challenging to manage if you were arrested by the police department.
Right.
But I think all in all, like, you know, you did a good job. Like,
I didn't think about the angle of like, you let them straight to your house. Good job. If they were like tracking me.
That is true. It is one of those things where you could have been, dude, God, imagine that. Calling your dad and being like, Dad, I found meth on the street. I took it home to destroy it.
And now this fucking guy's in my bushes.
It's true. I'm getting arrested or I'm getting arrested or, you know, it's just like, it's a, you know, it's a bit daunting. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I feel like Batman. I'm cleaning up these streets one bag at a time.
You should start wearing a mask when you run and then pick up drugs and see what happens.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Oh my God. Whoa. The flashing in the back. It was pretty intense.
Flashy backy.
So Dan, you, you know, you're a swag guy. You like the swag.
Love the swag.
There's a website called The Takeout, and they talk about food, like constantly talk about food. They do food reviews. They give you recipes, all kinds of stuff. One of the headlines that they put on there is, why is every brand of food selling ridiculous, like, swag online on their online shops? So you can buy like a Chester Cheeto bedtime onesie. You can buy a Doritos ugly Christmas shirt.
Like pizza pillows and shit.
Yes. Did you see this?
I just went to the website.
So my question to you is, like, does this make sense to you? Does this, is this the right marketing move? Who's seeing this? Or is it just the fact that, hey, you and I are talking about it now? So that was totally worth the investment just because you and I are now having this conversation.
It's smart, man. It's smart. From like, really? Because, yeah, and because like from a person who's a sucker for merch, like, I mean, that's learned, but it's a slope between, it's a slope down from like fandom, allegiance, and then like repping. Sure. So like I like pizza. Okay. Sure. And then I'm like, well, I like Pizza Hut the best.
Yeah.
And then like I'm consuming that food and now I need like the last step of that is repping it.
Sure. I get what you're saying. That's an interesting line to get you into it. Because if I'm that company, it's like, first thing we do, we got to get people to buy into our brand. Doesn't matter what it is. We got to get them to buy into our product, buy into whatever it is we're doing. And then once they buy into the brand and we create that brand loyalty, then at that point, they'll do whatever we tell them. And they don't even know it. So it's like,
I mean, it's a no-brainer for Cheez-Its, where it's like, look, guys, anyone who loves Cheez-Its is probably going to buy these Cheez-Its socks. But you're not.
So
you're
insane
not
to hear somebody say.
You're not. But you're not going to get people who've never eaten Cheez-Its to get these Cheez-Its socks. But they're probably at a price point to where someone knows someone who loves Cheez-Its. You know.
Yeah. I guess.
And then so now it's like, great. These Cheez-Its socks are $12. Brad likes Cheez-Its. Right. Game over. Happy birthday, Brad.
Oh, my God.
Here's your Cheez-It socks.
Or, hey, Kentucky Fried Chicken decided to work with Crocs to create special custom Crocs.
Absolutely.
That look like a bucket of fried chicken.
Oh, dude, I'll buy those right now.
They come up with two little chicken charms that you can actually put into the Croc holes.
What?
Yes. This is amazing, by the way. They're sold out. Of course they're sold out.
Of course. Because you have to have it. So, and like the only thing better than buying merch is buying merch that's collabed with other merch.
Oh, that's a good point. Or merch that is so unusual that you know it just goes that quick.
Wow. Yeah. Like Marshall once showed me these... I forget what they were. They were either Crocs or they were just straight up sneakers, but they collabed with Arizona green tea. So they had the Arizona green tea, like teal and like flower design all over the sneaker. And it was like, they're like $250 and they're gone.
Wow.
Like they're just gone. You can't get them. What?
It's bonkers. These Crocs right now are going for $200. Some of them are trying. Some people are trying to sell them for $430.
What?
Yeah.
Where is that?
On eBay. Just type in KFC Crocs, everybody. Check it out. StockX has them for about $120. So they're going to range anywhere from around $100 to $150 to $400, and you can see all the various. Dude,
someone's got them for next.
Are Crocs the next real collectible? Is this a thing?
Bro.
Special custom Crocs?
Bro, who told you about Crocs in 2020 during the pandemic who was like, I'm in a pair of Crocs now?
Yeah. You think it's the next? You think it's the next big thing, huh?
It's the thing. It's not next.
What do you mean the thing? How many people do you know that wear Crocs that aren't over the age of, that aren't under the age of 40?
Dude, Crocs are so huge right now. Like, you don't understand because you're watching Frasier, but
don't hate me because I appreciate a good Armani suit.
Us cool kids are wearing chicken Crocs, bruh.
Oh my god, my head's gonna explode. Oh, dude. Daddy, I don't like it. Anyway, that's weird.
Dude, Fitz is gonna be, he's gonna see these Crocs and he's gonna go, oh, fuck.
Oh, wait. Wait, wrong one. Oh, he probably will.
Shout out to baby Luke. It was his birthday recently.
Oh, happy birthday, baby Luke. Good for you, buddy. Hey, baby Luke, how did your birthday go? Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it gets better.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Nova, the mouth on that kid. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, you got to put that kid in a box or something. But, you know, I guess if you're right. So now the thing with Crocs are the fact that you have these things that you put in the holes.
Oh, yeah. The little jewels.
Yeah, they're called gibbets.
Right.
And gibbets are what you put on your Croc shoes. So that makes them cool. Like, oh, here's your Croc gibbets. So. Dude, I might have to just order me a set of Crocs right now.
Bro, they're so comfortable. You'll never...
Are you going to wear Crocs on Sunday? So just so people know, Dan and I are going to go to a baseball game on Sunday.
Heading out to San Diego, watch a ball game.
Watch a ball game, play a little catch.
I'm already researching my what hat I'm going to get.
Ooh, are there good ones?
I'm liking that brown on yellow. San Diego.
That's a pretty solid choice.
I'm liking that.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. Always buy a hat whenever I go to a game. It's just a routine. It's a thing I do. It's a disgusting habit.
Love anyway. The Dodgers. Go Dodgers. Bleed blue. But I'm gonna watch the Padres.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good.
I mean, yeah, Cody. I really think for a man who loves his pajama pants and lounging. Oh, Crocs are for you, bro.
Yeah. You know, I bought a set of Target bedtime shoes. And so, you know, I wear those pretty hardcore. It's always
nice.
Pretty good. Bedtime shoes are always a win. But anyway,
Crocs will replace those bedtime shoes.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, what on this website has you like... Maybe. You have a LaCroix bathing suit. Get out of here.
That was a gift. That's not something I chose to purchase, my friend.
But that's how they get you, though.
Well.
They get your friends, because someone knew you liked LaCroix.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I like how they have sales on Crocs. Like, oh, yeah, we couldn't sell the rest of these. Here's a sale. Here's a sale on these Bistro Graphic clogs. $25.
You gotta get the Post Malone Croc collabs.
Oh, really? They do that? Post Malone Croc collabs? Okay. I'll have to do that. I like how they highlight this with the gibbets, these little charms that you put in your shoes. They call it, they say, tell your story. Gibbets.
Tell your story. I got the flip flop Crocs and I got the clogs too.
Okay. All right. I mean, like, if I'm going to wear Crocs, I want them to be special, like, limited edition run Crocs. I don't want to buy some of these, like, oh, it looks like I'm wearing my dark brown Crocs again.
Right. You know,
I got to get something different, so.
My boy Danny, he came to Moxie's birthday party in a pair of Crocs. He let me try them on. Ooh.
You liked them?
Ooh, they were good.
He liked them.
Yeah. Like, they're just so comfy.
You know, it's amazing what they'll do to promote and sell their product, people. Are you a sheep? Probably.
Man, dude. What do you think? You think it's time?
For this week's...
True Crime.
All right, Dan, what do we got? Who's what's the story?
Dude. I got some tough ones, like some serious ones.
Oh.
We've got a guy. Which one do you want to hear about? I'll let you pick it.
Give me two.
All right, I'll give you
quick synopsises of each.
We got a guy who says he killed his kids over a QAnon conspiracy theories and serpent DNA, fearing that they'd become monsters. Okay. And we've got a toddler who shot his mom with an unlocked gun while she was on a work Zoom call.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack in both of these.
Yeah.
But I will say the QAnon conspiracy, father killing kids. I'm anti father killing kids. Okay. Well, first of all, there's two types of people in the world. The first type of person, there's the type that their fingers smell like hot dogs all the time. And then there's the second type where they don't. You have to make the decision. What type of person are you going to be?
Who do you want to be?
So Dan, let's go with option number one, because I think the unfortunate story of the toddler killing his parent is, I mean, it's an unfortunate story of the parent killing his children, but it's all like,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's a mess. But let's go with zany crazy instead of tragic and unfortunate.
Okay. So L.A., California surfing school owner charged Wednesday with killing his two young children with a spear gun in Mexico because he believed that they'd become monsters. Matthew Taylor Coleman, he's 40. He's from Santa Barbara, facing federal charges for the foreign murder. He confessed to the FBI during an interview that he took his 2-year-old son, 10-month-old daughter, to Mexico. They were shot spear, where they shot a spear fishing gun, according to the affidavit filed by the FBI. He said he believed his children were going to grow into monsters, so he had to kill them. A farm worker found the children. It's just like, what in the fuck?
By the way, either one of these stories you would have told are fucking terrible.
So bad.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, Coleman.
Fuck you, guy. Fuck you.
Yeah. He was detained at the border checkpoint, where during the interview with the FBI, he explained that he was enlightened by QAnon and Illuminati conspiracy theories and was receiving visions and signs, revealing that his wife, AC, possessed serpent DNA and had passed it on to his children. He's accused of dumping the children's bodies in a ditch.
Nobody deserves that.
This is the problem with like QAnon and this conspiracy bullshit. It gets into people's heads and they spin it. And then who takes responsibility? You know? Nobody.
I think there's this type of person, okay? Because this is a type, right? I mean, yeah. I don't want to generalize and say everybody that believes a QAnon conspiracy is going to go out and use a sea spear to end the life of their children.
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, it's one of those things where in our lives, something small happens and then the next step is something small, but maybe it's a little bigger happens and we let it and we continue to kind of like buy into that. And then it's the next thing. And then it's the next thing. And then it's the next thing. And then it gets to the point where you don't even realize the line anymore because it is taking a full grind. And, you know, we've had conversations about cults. You know, I think we talked about, what is it? We talked about the sex cult. We talked about cults in general, and that's kind of that process. And not to say, I don't know if QAnon's a cult. I don't know if I would necessarily put it in that space because it's not organized or defined in a way where people can kind of come. I mean, there's a group of people that believe this stuff, but I don't. Anyway, comes down to this idea that, you know, this person goes to this extreme. And at one point, this guy was probably pretty normal. Yeah.
Normal enough to have two kids and a wife.
Well, let's be fair. You don't have to be normal to have children. You got to be, you know, animalistic and human, horny and find a partner.
He was normal enough to maintain custody.
Sure. I mean, that's a hard one to manage in the first place, but I think
there's just a problem with, like, there's people on different levels of QAnon. There's, you got your people that are just like, they're in it to like cause a ruckus and to like stir the pot. And then there's other people who are like digesting it and they're like all in consumer. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course Hillary Clinton eats babies.
Right.
Like,
and like,
what are you talking about?
But I feel like someone's making that up, like, as like a, yeah, let's see if this, like, as like throwing shit to a wall and seeing what sticks.
Sure.
But then someone else is like lapping it up, like, I gotta fucking find these babies.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta find these babies. Or my kid, I can smell the serpent on him.
Yeah.
He smells like serpent because my wife, who doesn't agree with me on anything.
Right. There's a one-way line of communication that has no repercussion for the other.
Kills me, man. I don't. Where does the sense of reality like disconnect for this guy? Like, it'd be interesting to know his story as to at what point was he like, yes, I will totally believe that this is real.
I mean, they're always normal until they're not. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
There's always a quote of like, Coleman was a good man.
Clink. Pfft. Crazy.
Fucking crazy, bro. There was something. I'm sure there was something along the way.
Yeah.
There was some kind of flag.
Something snapped to say, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, somebody saw this guy like step on a mouse or something. And they were like, oh. He's like, I hate mice. You know, like, there was some kind of red flag like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't just like tee off first on your two children.
No. No. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's pretty fucked up, ladies and gentlemen, and I guess that's this week's
True Crime.
True Crime. I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Roomblocks, they research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything. Okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all their rooms!
Get those rooms. Get the damn rooms.
It's time for this week's
Champion of the Week!
champion of the week. Yeah.
Are you ready for this one?
Born.
Okay. This one's a little old. July 30th, 2021.
It's not that old.
Let's not that old.
Who saves lives? Who's a hero?
After engine failure, teenager lands plane perfectly on a bridge in traffic.
What?
Yep. 18-year-old pilot. He had trouble. He had engine trouble and was able to unbelievably land the plane on a busy bridge in New Jersey. The kid nailed it. Not a single injury to himself or the plane. His name is Landon Lucas.
That's pretty impressive. How old was this kid?
18.
Okay.
Insanity. It was in the middle of the day, lunch hour. Okay. Yeah. And he landed the plane in traffic, an Ocean City spokesman said. Eyewitnesses who happened to also be a pilot watched the landing from a boat and said, "Really?" So he said, "It's really a challenge. I'm very proud of him. It's really phenomenal. He was able to do this safely."
So what had happened? So somebody had died in the plane? Did they have a heart attack or something?
No, there was just an engine failure.
Oh, it was just and he was able to manage doing that while the plane was crashing.
Right, right. While it was going down.
While he was like, "We're going down." Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he landed it in town or on a runway?
He landed it on the street.
Right. That's like what I thought traffic, you said. But,
in traffic. Like, listen to this quote. "Being scared does nothing."
Oh my God.
A very nonchalant Landon Lucas describes how he safely landed his banner plane on the Ocean City Bridge Monday. They said, "How big was the gap in traffic?" Here's what Landon said. "Big enough."
This kid just like, just he comes in, he's just like pop, dropping the mic, everything he's doing,
right,
man.
That's my guy, man. Landon Lucas.
Wow, this kid, hardcore. Oh, how much is big enough? It's fine. I had it.
He also said it was either water or bridge. There was a gap in traffic and I went in. Being scared does nothing.
Like, he makes a valid point, but that doesn't mean he wasn't scared.
But I guess he was just like, yo, there's no reason, like, I'm going to do it or I'm not. That's,
I mean,
it.
That's true. That's a great point. That's to be able to control emotional states of, like, doesn't mean you can't be, like, fearful of the whole thing, but that's pretty amazing. Oh,
right.
My gosh. Being scared does nothing. Wow. Bold statement from this kid.
Super bold, man.
I mean, he's definitely a hero, man. I mean, to some people.
He could have killed people.
He could have crashed that plane, lit up in flames, and all the cars around him explode. I mean, I don't know. I've seen a lot of movies. I don't know if that's real.
Think about this. The composure at 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
To land a plane, I'd have jumped out the fucking plane.
I would have done something like that too. Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I
would have shit myself. I mean, you peed your pants during E.T.
It's true.
You know?
E.T. and during a doctor's office visit.
Right.
So, what's going to stop? The gym. Let's continue to go through the list of the places I've pissed myself, Dan.
You passed out in a chair at the gym and peed yourself.
I did do that. Oh, it's been a while. I forgot about it. I thought COVID would have erased that from people's minds, but Dan knows about it.
People don't forget, man. People don't forget.
Never forget.
Anyway. I mean,
that was my 9/11, ladies and gentlemen. That was my 9/11. God, oh, that's funny. Anyway, Well, you know, I salute him. If you guys are looking for a hero, somebody to look to this guy where fear does nothing for you.
So Landon Lucas, congratulations. You're this week's Dan and Cody
champion of the week. Coming up on the end here, Dan, what do you got? What are your thoughts, man?
Hey, see drugs, pick up drugs, throw them away.
Dispose of them properly. Dissolve them. Yeah. Use your hands. Wear gloves.
Maybe Google how to get rid of drugs.
Yeah. For all you know, it's not drugs either. Blue rocks.
Oh, it was drugs. And a money sign on the bag.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big sign. But
I took a picture of it. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please don't send me the evidence of your illegal activity.
I'm going to be like, hey, Cody, check this out. You want it?
Sure. I guess, you know, one of the things you could have done, Dan, hindsight, you could have immediately, you had your phone, you could have just said, hey, police department, I'm here. I have a very small amount of what I believe to be drugs that I found on the side of the street. You guys should come and take care of this.
Then I'm definitely going down.
No, you're not.
I was running before work. I had to get home.
Like that situation right there where you're saying, well, like, I feel like my story's good enough. If you called them, why would you call them for something as small as that?
Yeah. And would they even come?
I don't know.
Would they be like, throw it in the woods?
Yeah, but that's drugs, man. Like, look at that brandness. Yeah, man, you're dealing with, like... Did you take that photo with your iPhone?
Yeah.
Damn, man, that looks good.
Yeah, dude.
What, the drugs? That detail looks great with the drugs in it. Yeah, man, that's definitely meth. Holy cow, that's meth.
That's fucking meth like shit.
Yeah, man.
I got that off the street, bro.
That's the way people be living up there in Santa Clarita.
Yeah, man. We got to protect our streets.
It's true. Doesn't take much. Anyway. All right, Dan. Well, it was good chatting. Thank you all for listening. Dan is going to be running a race. He's running the Chicago Marathon in October. And what are you doing? You better be donating.
You better be giving me money. Come on.
Dan's running for the Boys and Girls Club of Chicago. He needs to support a positive group. And this is it. And you can help support him. So go out right now. Go check out Dan and Cody. Check in our show notes. We got a link to where you can donate. Yep. We've got almost $1,000 already donated. We're how many dollars away, Dan?
We need about $800.
About $800 more dollars is the goal. We had about $1,800 total goal. Get out there. If you can donate $1, great. If you can donate $100, even better. Do what you feel comfortable with. Support Dan in the run, but more importantly, support those boys and girls. Have them have some kind of leadership in their life. So
that's right. Just $1 a day. You can give me $1 out of your paycheck. And that will take care of the kids if 1,800 of you gave $1, okay?
Dan's right. Go get it, guys. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody Podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy shit, all right?